Savannah's arena to be named later now has a name, the Enmarket Arena. The facility's operator, Oakview Group, made that announcement earlier this week, furthering anticipation for the opening of the long-awaited venue in January of 2022. The general manager of the Enmarket Arena, Oakview's Monty Jones, joins today's commute. You are listening to the Commute Podcast presented by National Office Systems. Today is Thursday, July the 22nd, and I am your host, Savannah Morning News opinion editor, Adam Van Brimmer. On today's episode, the Enmarket Arena's top executive, Monty Jones, fills us in on all the details behind the much-anticipated venue. Also, we'll preview the Tokyo Olympic swimming events with Associated Press sports writer Paul Newberry. We'll get to those discussions right after I do the National Office Systems ad. Here at the Savannah Morning News, we recently reopened our offices, and it's been great to see staffers in person regularly again. It helps that we have a great space, designed and outfitted by Scott Center's team at National Office Systems. And we're not the only ones. National Office Systems has been working with Savannah area businesses for 30 years and leverages its partnerships with suppliers such as Dirt Modular Interiors and Herman Miller Furniture to deliver a top quality product. Learn more by visiting www.natoffsys.com. That's www.natoffsys.com. Now here's the interview with Enmarket Arena's Monty Jones. Joined for the Thursday commute by Monty Jones, who is the general manager with Oakview Group and the general manager of the Savannah Civic Center and shortly, well, probably currently.
Yes.
The Savannah Arena. There's not much to manage in there yet, but at the same time, I'm sure you're doing a lot of the prep and the planning and the getting ready for the opening, which is
January of 22.
January, as they're saying now.
January of 22.
Yeah. And is January 22, are we going to start to see shows and games in there in January 22, or will it just be kind of the arena's open? And
arena's open and see some shows.
Okay.
So looking at overall just hockey in itself will start the fall of 22.
Right.
So with their season.
So the at least the anchor tenant is still a ways away, but that's a matter of the season, not the building. So,
right.
Perfect. So I know earlier this week we announced, or you announced, the you've sold naming rights to the arena to Enmarket. And when that came about, of course, a lot of people who they're paying attention, they know about the Savannah Arena, but now they're starting to get an idea of, okay, so it's not just the city running the arena. How does this all work? So can you kind of talk us through who Oakview Group is, and what your arrangement is with the city in terms of operating the arena?
Okay. Yeah. So looking at Oakview Group as a whole, we're a international company. We have our headquarters over in California, in Hollywood, and then in Beverly Hills, sorry. And then we also have corporate offices in Philadelphia, New York, and also over in the UK. Mm-hmm. So we're international as a whole. Looking at it based over here in the US, I mean, our company is spending well over $5 billion on newly developed projects such as Savannah Arena. You look at Savannah Arena as a whole, but then you also look at the new NHL franchise, the Seattle Kraken, that's performing at the new Climate Pledge Arena. You know, what they actually just had their expansion draft last night,
right?
You know, so they had that last night. So we're managing that new facility and with the renovation there. You're looking at the new arena at Belmont Estates, you know, with the Islanders being the partner there.
Okay.
You know, so that's a new building that we have as well, the UBS Arena. You look at UT Austin, you know, with their new arena there on campus. We're building that building, you know, the one here in Savannah, but then also Coachella Valley, you know, where the big Coachella Festival is,
right.
Building a new brand new indoor arena there that will be home to the AHL franchise of the new Seattle Kraken team there in Coachella. You know, but then also there's a new arena in Arizona with Arizona State. We're building their new hockey arena, you know, for their collegiate team. And then there's a 300 plus acre sports complex.
Okay.
That we're also building in Arizona.
Okay. So if it's sports and entertainment venues, you guys are a big player in operating those.
Yes. And that's what we do. You know, looking at, you know, kind of you know, our top leadership within our company, you know, is, you know, the top of the best of the best in this industry, where you have Tim Lawicki, where, you know, you look up the likes of what AEG has become as a whole, from the Staples Center, the LA Live, the O2, and all of that. That's, you know, that man has his footprint, you know, on that and fingerprint. And so, you know, so that's the visionary that we have. But then you look at Irvin Azoff. Irvin Azoff is the biggest, you know, music manager in the business, like some Madonna, the Eagles, you know, Bon Jovi, Travis Scott, you know, so he's the biggest of the biggest, you know, in the industry as a whole. And then you look at, you know, the chairman of the facility side with Peter Luca. If you look at the likes of what the Philadelphia 76ers and the Philadelphia Flyers were, you know, looking at the aspect of Allen Iverson, you know, this is the man that had his hand in drafting Allen Iverson to the Philadelphia 76ers, but then also building, you know, the company Global Spectrum or Spectra now, you know, he had his hand in all of that in the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, you know, so you having those three guys who are the biggest visionary within the industry are all in one company,
all one company now.
And, you know, so that bodes well for what we do. And then looking at it as a whole, as our company started a first of its kind, the Arena Alliance. So it's 29 of the biggest arenas. And of those, they're in 25 of them are in the top markets in the US. And with those, you know, it's like the NBA, NHL arena, you know, 17 NHL buildings, 17 NBA venues, that part of this alliance, that, you know, we kind of control the routing of these major tours, you know, with our partner, that's also the partner here in Savannah with Live Nation. You know, so with that aspect, we have huge like entertainment power, you know, with that as a company as a whole. And with Savannah, you know, we're a part of that Arena Alliance now, you know, with the likes of State Farm Arena and the Time Warner, well, the Spectrum Center in Charlotte. You know, so, you know, we're right there dab in the middle of both of those venues, you know, so with having that, that just bodes well, you know, for us to being able to be part of that top entertainment. And that's what Savannah's going to get. You know, we're Savannah's going to be treated as an A market now with this new venue and then with having us involved and our partner Live Nation. But then looking at it too, you know, our deal here too locally, you know, we partner locally with Pat Mathis Construction. You know, that's a local firm that's been here. Pat Mathis Construction has been here well over, I want to say 40 years. And so we're partnering with her, was a joint venture partner with her as part of our original bid, where, you know, we're here to one, provide opportunities for her company to learn new skills with their team so that their company can expand outside of just Savannah, but still being a Savannah based company. And so there's a local minority firm, but then also with this too, part of our deal is, you know, current management of the Civic Center. With that, you know, we've been managing the Civic Center since September of 19. And then, you know, that's an interim while we're also working with the city and the construction team to make sure that the Savannah Arena is as, sorry, the in-market arena.
In-market arena
is as marketable and operational as it can be once we open in January of 22. You know, so that's, you know, that's kind of been that process, just so that, you know, that, you know, the city gets something that, you know, is functional. And so that you're not going back and you're actually spending more money on top of money, because it has happened before where, you know, buildings are built and then you just go back and, you know, 2 years down the road, you're spending more and more money on top of it. You know, so that's the process to kind of help that. And so, you know, as we're expecting the new arena to open, we went through a competitive process with the city through their bid process. And within that process, we won the management rights for the new in-market arena. With that comes Oakview Group. We manage every aspect of the building, food and beverage, which our partner Delaware North will be controlling, the sponsorship sales, the suites and clubs, controlling the event and booking and so forth, but then operationally. So the good thing about that is if you look at it a whole, you look at the Civic Center, you know, for the year. So you look at the past couple of years, Civic Center in a sense has been operating, let's say roughly a million plus subsidy. So that in a sense is somebody has to cover cost of a loss. With the new in-market arena, the city has no subsidy
right.
on this venue.
It's all on you.
It's all on Oakview Group. Mm-hmm. And so, but then also the city's going to make money, mm-hmm. you know? So after year two of operating, Oakview mm-hmm. operating, the city will receive a $50,000 payment mm-hmm. on year three. Year four, the city will, year four on through, it's a 10-year agreement. Mm-hmm. And from year four on, the city will receive $100,000 mm-hmm. Annual payment. On top of that, we have supplied a $5 million pretty much check to the city right. that they will have in whole before we open the building.
Right.
So you're looking at cities actually not paying money out. Mm-hmm. They're making money. Mm-hmm. And so that's just on the front end. Yeah. The additional benefit the
revenue sharing is
the revenue share, right.
right.
And that's a huge deal. So, you know, as I kind of talked about, you know, our relationship with Live Nation and so forth, and granted it's not, you know, it's a great partnership with Live Nation, you know, and it's going to bode well for a lot of great events, but looking at all the entertainment as a whole that we're going to bring in along with hockey, you know, all the different revenue sources that we're going to have with that. And upon us making anything over $1 million in profit revenue wise, the city is sharing it.
Yeah, 50-50, right?
And that. So it's going, so essentially it's a tiered share process where I want to say from anything from $1 million to $1.5 million mm-hmm. is the city shares 25% of okay. that profit.
And then it scales up.
And then from $1.5 million to $2 million, the city shares 33% of that profit. Mm-hmm. Anything over $2 million profit that we see after all operating costs, the city receives 50% of that.
So the better you guys do, the better the city does.
Right. But then if you look at it as a whole overall, if you look at it from the past, you're looking at having paying money out mm-hmm. and now you're getting money. It almost, you know, it just almost doubles back on the positive side of things. If you look at the savings and the revenue that you're getting on the back end. So it's a great benefit, you know, overall, you know, for all involved. Mm-hmm. And then too, you know, with that, you know, it's also the part of, you know, bringing more visitors
sure.
to the city. You know, as I stated, Savannah's going to be considered an A market, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to have people, you know, from, you know, let's say this coastal area, you know, whether it's South Carolina down to, you know, maybe Florida, Jacksonville or so forth, they're not going to have to go, you know, to these major cities like in Atlanta or Charlotte or so forth, the bigger yeah. cities mm-hmm. in order to see these big shows. Like you can have these shows right here, mm-hmm. you know, so that's a huge thing. And then, you know, people in the outlying markets, you know, let's say, you know, like a Macon area or somewhere like that, you know, hey, come to, they would probably more than likely rather come to Savannah.
Yeah.
A more, as I called it, the hostess with, will be now the hostess with the mostest city.
Oh, there you go.
You know,
they come in Atlanta.
Right. Exactly.
No
you know,
offense to Atlanta.
Right.
Atlanta.
You know, not have to deal with the traffic right. and all of that. But then also, you know, the great culinary aspect that we have here, mm-hmm. you know, the hotel and the hospitality that we have, you know, so having that aspect, people are going to choose, hey, I'd rather come to Savannah and spend that money. So looking at all the extra tax benefits that also come here as well with that.
Right. So the naming arena, of course, is we've had some big announcements with construction announcements and the hockey team is coming. And now we have the naming rights. And I think that I think it's fair to guess that we're going to see an acceleration of things that are happening or coming to the arena are going to kind of accelerate as you get closer and closer to January for the opening. Bertie told me that we're probably going to hear about a hockey name maybe next year and maybe some more or next month and maybe some more hockey news. Is there anything else that you are at liberty to share that maybe we should know and look forward to for next year in the arena?
Well, I want to let, you know, everyone know to be prepared.
Right.
Like it's going to be shock factor. You know, it's going to be initial shock factor once, you know, start seeing these names and these acts that are going to be coming, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, that's the thing, you know, it's going to be that shock factor that, you know, oh, wow, they're actually playing Savannah, yeah. you know. So it's just going to be great. And, you know, we're going to want, you know, all to come mm-hmm. out and enjoy. You know, the thing is, this is Savannah's arena, you know, so we want, you know, part of this process is having a diverse aspect of entertainment. Mm-hmm. And as I've always said, you know, we want the entertainment to represent, you know,
right.
this market.
The community that we're in.
Right. You know, so we're going to have a lot of different, you know, opportunities and avenues of different things that we're going to have here, you know, so that everyone can enjoy both young and old and in between.
Yeah. I think what we've seen at District Live, which is down at Point Riverside, it just announced that they were going to launch next month. They're Live Nation as well. And you look at their first, their initial lineup of acts. And like you said, it's a very diverse in terms of genres and everything else. And I'm taking that might be a little bit of a hint. Put that on steroids and what we're going to see at your place, right?
Yeah, you know, because that's on a smaller scale, you know, looking at it and look at the multitude. I mean, we're 9,500 seats, arena. So it's, you know, we're getting a lot. I mean, we're roughly 3,000 or so better seats than what was currently at the Martin Luther King Jr. Arena, you know, so with that, it's just going to be great. And then, you know, looking at two as a whole, I mean, it's just opportunity on top of opportunity, you know, that's going to be had. I mean, you know, we're part of our operating expenses with the event operating expenses. 75% of that is going to go to local minority owned firms.
Okay.
Of the event operating expenses. You know, so that's also a huge thing that was part of our process as well, is, you know, getting good local partners and vetting them out so that, you know, we have one great service. Mm-hmm. But then also too, it's also enriching the community as a whole. And so, you know, we're going to, you know, look to, you know, to have people within the community. We want to have them a part of that and be a part of the story that we're going to continue on for years to come.
I know in the interim, you all are also mentioned. Managing the Civic Center, and when we walked in here, Uri, you were talking about just the as the U.S. has opened up with the COVID vaccinations, that your business in the existing facility, at least on the Johnny Mercer side, is really on the uptick. Can you tell us a little bit about what we should expect in Mercer between now and January?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a magnitude of shows. I mean, just you know, just recently we announced what Clint Black. Chicago is coming, with Blue Man Group, The Price is Right.
Price is Right.
Yeah. Come on down.
I arranged to get picked. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I know that I have no dealings with that.
Insiders.
And you know, then, you know, with that, you'll get somewhat of celebrity host for that. Don't know who that'll be currently, you know, but like, you know, with the Casting Crowns, you got the Toby Mac. It's just a whole bunch of great things. And we're not even finished yet. I mean, I think we're going to be announcing a couple of shows in a little bit, you know, and then even next week, we're going to be announcing some shows, you know, so it's going to be continuing on through this time frame that, you know, some shows this fall. I mean, we're going to probably, you know, roughly a good amount of, you know, five plus shows a month, you know, going out. So it's going to be really, really good. Looking at average wise of what we're going to have just through the end of this year as a whole. And then once we, you know, I'm thinking, you know, somewhere around by the end of the summer, first part of fall, we're going to be starting announcing some lineups at the, in Market Arena.
Right. And how does that work initially as you transition? I assume you'll have shows in both buildings, at least until the city figures out what it wants to do with the Civic Center, or is there already something in place in terms of from your standpoint when you transition from Civic Center to Arena?
No. So we're just, you know, going until the decision's made, you know, that's how we're looking at it, you know, and
it's another venue to book.
Right. Exactly. And then you look at it, you know, it's a great concept where if you look at, you know, the landscape of, you have the in-market arena, 9,500 seats, and then going down to the Johnny Mercer, that's 2,600 seats. Mm-hmm. And then you have the theater that SCAD manages, that's roughly, 1,100 seats.
1,200.
Yeah. And so that, you know, it's a good mix where you get a lot of good ranges. And then, you know, you have the new venue over at Plant Riverside.
That's 500 seats.
Yeah. So, you know, you got, yeah, like, Savannah has that great mix of like entertainment. And it's, as I stated, it's a market. I mean, you look at all these avenues and you only see these in really bigger markets, you know, a markets. And so it's here, you know? And so that's the part we're just going to continue to enrich, you know, the life and, you know, bring the community along with us.
My last question for you is if you drive out Gwinnett Street and, you know, that it's closed because they're improving that intersection to get to the arena. in terms of the infrastructure around the arena, looking at January, how are you guys feeling about that? If stuff isn't done, I assume there's some things in place to help deal with logistics, at least initially.
Yeah. So that's the process that we're kind of working through now. We, you know, we're in the concept of looking, we're not going to be 100% complete, mm-hmm. you know, during that time, but there will be access points and so forth that we'll have. And, you know, we're working through that process with Oakview Group and the city and so forth to make sure that we have the right communication and plan in place. You know, as we anticipate, we're, you know, Gwinnett Street is not going to be 100% complete.
Right.
You know, you look at it as a whole parking wise, you know, there's going to be 2000 surface space parking, mm-hmm. you know, right there. There's going to be a pedestrian bridge that goes across the canal mm-hmm. To the arena. And then also there's going to be the attached 400 space garage, mm-hmm. you know, so mm-hmm. it'll be, you know, great parking within the area. But then you also know people use rideshare, you know, a lot. So, you know, depending, you know, hopefully that picks back up, you know, around that time for where it currently is. And, you know, you have all the different opportunities. There's also going to, you know, there's a cat, you know, location right. as well, that's going to be there as well for drop off, you know, so we're going to have the accessibility for all avenues of transportation in order to get to the venue.
Yeah. As excited as I am for the arena, and I'm excited for the arena, I'm really excited to see what happens around the arena. And I know that's a pretty big key to the success for Oakview Group as well. So I'm sure you are as well. So we'll look forward to that. Get the arena done first.
Yes.
and we'll see what comes from that. But Monty, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us today. I know people are very, very curious, and I really appreciate you taking the time.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Before we move to discussing what will eventually happen at the M Market Arena to what is about to go down at the Tokyo Olympic Swimming Venue, I need to tell you about the best source for local news in Savannah, the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. Every day, we go in-depth on topics important to you, whether it's Savannah City Manager Search or the best new restaurants around town. If you aren't a subscriber, now is the time to try us out. You can get full access to our digital content for $1 a month for the next 6 months. All those stories marked subscriber only on our website, this gets you behind the paywall. So dig under those couch cushions, check the pockets of those pants you put in the laundry, and find some coins and small bills and subscribe today. Go to SavannahNow.com/subscribe now and sign up. Join on this Olympic edition of The Commute by Georgia's own Paul Newberry, who works with Associated Press. He's based out of Atlanta. You've read his work in the Savannah Morning News for quite literally for decades. And
God, now I'm really feeling old.
And he is ready to go to Tokyo to cover what will be his, Paul, you said your 7th Winter Games, your 14th overall.
Seventh Summer Games and 14th overall. Yes, that's correct.
Right.
So that definitely gives away the age there.
That's it. But we don't need to get any more.
You started covering it. Can't get away from it now.
Yeah, you started covering it when you were in middle school. So don't worry about it.
I was going to say, I think I was around 10. So let's go with that.
Well, you, of course, your focus, you covered the aquatics. And obviously the focus of the aquatics is swimming. And mm-hmm. this swimming and gymnastics are track and field. Those are the three events that kind of captivate everybody's interest every 4 years at the Summer Games. And this will be your 6th Olympic Games covering swimming, which means it will be your first where you're not covering Michael Phelps. So let's start right there, because I don't think we can have any kind of Olympic swimming discussion without talking a little bit about Michael Phelps. What
always
kind of
Michael
impact
Phelps,
is,
even when he's retired, we still have to talk
it.
About Michael Phelps. Yeah,
well, maybe we can make this the last time, right? But what do you think it's going to be like covering Olympic Games without his shadow? That it's quite a big shadow.
Yes, it's. I don't think there's. You can't say this is not going to be different. I mean, I think there's some great swimmers who are going to step up. You know, obviously from the United States, you know, Caleb Dressel and Katie Ledecky are sort of the big names and are great, great swimmers and have already had great careers and still have, you know, apparently, I'm sure some gold medals in front of them. Certainly Caleb Dressel and Katie Ledecky is going to, I think, have another great Olympics. But yeah, it's just Phelps was such a beyond swimming presence. I mean, you know, I wrote a story of when I was at the swimming trials this year about him not being there at the pool. And it's just, you know, he was a guy that was in, you saw in commercials all the time, you know, posted Saturday Night Live. was in, you know, mentioned in countless rap songs. And, you know, I mean, he was a pop culture icon and, you know, beyond. And, you know, and he had some, obviously some incidences away from the pool that made him somewhat compelling with his, some of his troubles away from the water. So he was a very dominant figure. And it's impossible to not say that it won't be somewhat different and have a little different feel, you know, when he's not there, because it was just electric. You know, it was like Tiger Woods in golf, you know, when he, when Phelps was in a race, you know, everything sort of just felt different.
I watched the trials on television. Obviously he was there. He was a presence. The cameras were on him. He sat in the booth with NBC for a little bit. I'm assuming he's probably going to be in Japan, but as he steps out of the limelight, even if he is there, does something fill that vacuum, or is it just, was he just such a presence that it's just, it's a different feel entirely without him there?
Well, I think somebody will step in. It may not feel quite like it at this Olympics, but it may. I mean, it always, you know, the greats always, you know, they don't last forever. And, you know, I think we were probably saying this when Michael Jordan left the NBA. And, you know, obviously there was people there to fill the void. Now, it still may be people who covered and followed Michael Jordan who say it's not quite, doesn't have that same feel, you know, that it did when he was in his prime. And there might, I don't know, it'll ever feel quite the same as when Michael Phelps was there. But there will certainly be great swimmers will come along and great stories and great personalities. And as we get further from him, you know, maybe beyond my time covering the sport, but, you know, his memory will fade and others will step up and be the big stars. It always happens, you know, Mark Spitz.
That's
you know,
right.
I'm sure they said that after he left, or Matt Biondi, and now, you know, Michael Phelps. So there'll be more greats. There always are. The greats they can't do it forever. So it's kind of the way it works.
Right. And you mentioned a couple of greats earlier, at least the ones we expect to be great, which is, well, Katie Ledecky is already great. She's already proven that. And, and Kale Dressel, of course, is kind of, if there's a Michael Phelps part two, it seems to be Kale Dressel, right? He's kind of carrying that mantle for USA Swimming. What makes him so fascinating, engaging?
Well, he's somewhat of a little bit different personality. I think Phelps sort of embraced the spotlight, and another guy who won't be there that was sort of the understudy to Phelps, Ryan Lochte, obviously
Lochte,
the guy who
loved
being in the spotlight. And I don't think Dressel is not big on that, but he's a very nice guy, very interesting when you sit down to talk to him. I don't think he, again, you know, quite relishes the spotlight, at least not yet, like a lot of his predecessors. But he's a very versatile swimmer. He's probably, I'm guessing, going to swim. He won't go after Phelps's record of 8 gold medals, but I think he could swim in as many as 7 events, counting all the relays. They have a new relay this year called the mixed relay, which is going to be very interesting, where each team has 2 men and 2 women. So that's a very kind of chaotic, fun event because they don't go in any particular order. So depending on who you pick, you can send out 2 women first and 2 men, you know, try to maybe win on the back half where the men are going to be a little faster, or you spread them out. It's a very interesting event because you end up with literally the only event where men and women could be and will be in there swimming against each other. So that'll be fun. But he will be on that, I'm sure. And so that gives him another extra relay race to that Phelps didn't have. So he's in 3 individual and could be in as many as 4 relays. So that's, you know, I don't know if he'll win them all, but he should probably be a medal contender in all of them, which gives him a shot at it. So he could go home with, you know, 5, 6, maybe even 7 gold medals, which would be pretty remarkable in the post Phelps era.
Yeah. Very impressive. And then of course, Ledecky probably going to mess this up. This is her 3rd Olympics, right? Is she showing any kind of,
yes.
Is she starting to slow down, or is she still hitting her peak?
Well, I think she's still she swims only the freestyle events, but a wide range goes from 200 meters up to basically the mile, the 1500 meters, which is a new event for the women. That's another, they have added a couple of the long distance races. So she's long been the dominant figure in the 1500 meters, but they didn't swim it at the last two Olympics or any Olympics, you know, in like close to 100 years, I think.
Okay.
So that event is coming back for the, or that event I think is a new one that's never been raced at the Olympics, a 1500 meters for women. So she's the overwhelming favorite in that, and probably at 800. Now at the shorter distances, 200 and 400, I wouldn't say she's the favorite, unlike Rio. There's some Australian, very good young Australian swimmers that have emerged and probably are going to be the favorites in those shorter distances. So I don't know that Katie's going to like sweep gold. Like she might've was expected to, didn't quite do it in Rio. I think had one silver, but, I think she's going to have a little more, it's going to be tougher on her at that 200 and 400 freestyle events, that she's not quite the dominant figure that she was, at the last Olympics in Rio, but still very good. Yes. I don't want
to, right.
she'll be on the medal. You'll see her on the medal podium a lot in Tokyo. Right. Yeah. So as they put the medals around their own necks, you know, as they're doing because of COVID.
Oh, because of COVID. Wow. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know.
Usually, you know, some MVP usually comes up and puts the, you know, some IOC person who wants to be on TV. But yes. Now apparently they're just going to hand out the case with the medals, and the athletes are to get them themselves and put them around their own necks.
That'll be interesting
as a safety measure. Yes, it will be. Make it one of many things that'll be different about these Olympics.
You don't have to sing your own national anthem, right? They're still going to play those. So.
I think they'll still play it. Yes, you don't. Okay. You don't have to hear like the Roseanne Barr and version of it. Oh, no,
God no. So the other talk of this team, of course, is the youth. I think there's 11 teenagers on this team. Who amongst those are you kind of watching and think could be putting the medal around their own neck in the next week?
Well, there's a kind of a captivating young woman, 18 years old, I believe, just graduating high school, Tori Husk out of the Washington, D.C. area, kind of up in the neck of the woods where Katie Ledecky is from. She has sort of emerged in the last year, did very well at the swimming trials, and she could be a medal contender. She may be more, you know, maybe even three years from now. I'm sorry, we only got 3 years to the next one. Right. You might be even more of a contender by then. But Tori Husk, I would keep an eye on her in Japan. She could be kind of a new emerging star, and a 19-year-old Reagan Smith has been very dominant in the backstroke, and just lost her world record to an Australian. So it's going to be there'll be some fun races on the women's side, particular between the Australians and the Americans. So, but yeah, she should be somebody who keep an eye on, who certainly is a medal or even gold medal contender in here in Tokyo.
Sure. Well, safe travels and keep your head down. And we'll look forward to reading your work from Tokyo. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Hey, great talking with you, Adam. Have a great next few weeks. And tune in there on NBC.
There you go. My thanks to Paul Newberry. And if you want to hear more from him about the Tokyo Olympics, listen to the Olympic edition of The Commute that posted earlier this week. That episode also includes a conversation with one of Savannah's own Olympians, Michael Cohen. That's all for this week on The Commute. Thank you to our presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. Please support them as they support this podcast. We return next Tuesday when we speak with Rebecca Rolfus of the League of Women Voters of Coastal Georgia about redistricting and gerrymandering. Thank you for listening, and have a great weekend.